It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
We are ready to do a little bit of ripping and a tearing here on a Tuesday morning breakfast with Vossie and Brandy. But no Brandy still. No Brandy. We have Maddie Russell as co-host, which is still very exciting, but it could be the last day. The last day of this current stint. We're here for Brighton's Lawyers, unable to work due to injury or illness. Contact Brighton's Lawyers. Welcome to our family on SEN 1170 AM in Sydney, but wherever you're listening on the SEN app. Maddie Russell, are you ready to do some ripping and tearing this morning?
Absolutely, Andrew. My body clock is in sync now. It feels like it's 9 o'clock in the morning. I'm ready to rip in. And as always, the great game of rugby league gives us plenty of fodder, doesn't it?
Oh, well, look, I'm a bit confused. David Fifita's a big story this morning, and I'm sure you'll want to buy into it on the Edgewater Homes text line or on the Great Southern Bank open line. Give us a call, 1300 01 1170. But suddenly, so is he allowed just to go out and field offers and everyone's allowed to have meetings? I must have missed something. I thought there was the round 10 clause where he could inform the club that I want to exercise my option to...
Yes.
Then seek another club or just see what I'm worth. But the offers have come in. It's like it's an off-market sale of a house. It feels like they've all come in. Penrith, Roosters, Flano's got something teed up. How's it work, Matty?
Surely it's assumed that you can't tell the club whether you want to exercise your option regarding the next 2 years unless you know what's on the table. Therefore, you have to have discussions with other clubs, namely St George Illawarra. They seem... long odds now to get David Fifita. It's a battle between Penrith and the Roosters, if you read those reports. Gold Coast seemingly running third in that battle. But, Vossi, I'm not so sure about that. Penrith offering $850,000 over 3 years. Sydney reportedly $825,000 over 4 years, so a slightly longer term. The Gold Coast deal is very good. That's his current home where his good mate Tino Fasua-Mala-Awi lives, where his girlfriend is contracted as an NRLW player. Is it just a given that David is going to leave Gold Coast? Is the Panthers and Roosters, are they too attractive for David Fifita to knock back? We'll find out over the next week, you'd think.
What does Flano do? Like, how does, like, it's almost like Dragons are... he comes in. How could he say, all right, so what are they doing? It could only be money. If the Dragons come in and have a crack at Fifita, as good as Flano is, I don't think he could sell the Dragons as a better destination, could he? How could he? So it'd have to be coin. So yeah. Flano must have gone to the board. The board would say, yep, you can offer him $1 million. And that's where it'd have to go, wouldn't it? It'd have to... You couldn't just offer him 50 more.
No, it'd have to be significantly more money for reasons we detailed yesterday.
And so I'm thinking it's 5 years. It's for, you know, the bulk of his career. Come to the Dragon, they'll give you $1 million a year or something.
You'd have to
but do
something.
But then does that get your cap in balance if you give back rowers that sort of money?
And Shane Flanagan knows all about salary cap management. He's trying to get the Dragon's cap back into shape. So you're right. If it's something comparable with the Panthers or Roosters, then... the Dragons probably aren't in the race. But if there's a lot of money on a longer term, that's the point of difference. Intriguing.
All right. Where do we land on this one, folks? Get on the... just text in a number and a term. Like, how many years, how much money? David Fifita. You can all play CEOs today, football managers, salary cap auditors if you want. 0457 736 736. Where do we land with David Fifita?
And is it coincidence that David in his most recent game against Melbourne had 13 tackle busts and 4 offloads, his biggest numbers in those regards this season? Just a little food on the table there for his prospective suitors.
Ivan Cleary has spoken. Ivan Cleary has spoken in regards this issue. He was relatively guarded. Will you be the judge? This is Ivan Cleary talking when quizzed on this situation.
Respectfully, I'm not going to comment on recruitment today. It's obviously a very sensitive issue, all recruitment. It affects a lot of people, clubs, players, agents, families. And I think we've probably already filled our quota for recruitment stories this year. So, yeah, I'm not going to discuss it today.
It's a very much Jerry Maguire sort of mission statement, isn't it? A little, you know, like he's, you know, we've had enough. Not going to talk about it.
Andrew, Penrith have built their stocks up predominantly by having local juniors coming through. They bought the likes of James Fisher-Harris from New Zealand and moulded him into the champion premiership winner he is. To buy David Fifita at $850,000 a year, when was the last time Penrith purchased in these circumstances? Like, not a loan deal. When was the last time they went to market and bought a bloke for the best part of $1 million to parachute into the team? There's something for the listeners this morning to rack your memory and try and come up with an answer there.
Yeah, I'm just trying. It's very early, so the questions, you didn't give me any heads up notice.
No, it just popped into my head.
Yes, no, that's right. So when you're picking up players like, you know, Luke Garner and Scott Sorensen and all that, you're talking bargains with respect. The players that they've signed that have added to what they've got, you know, when they got Viliami Kika out of the Cowboys, they're talking he was a nobody.
Yeah.
Again, with respect. So all of that. Now you might have a good text line. There's your answer. Someone will just fire one in and just, forgot it.
Yeah, there it is.
Forgot that one. But I don't think there is. I don't think, certainly not in the, the premiership run. There hasn't been. They haven't done anything enormous there. I suppose bringing Ivan Cleary back, the coach, was the last, to get him out of the Tigers to come back to Penrith. That might have been.
Yeah. And Capewell was good for them, but he wasn't at the heights that David Fifita is at the moment.
No, I would agree with that. Yeah, Capewell, that's probably where you start. 0457 736 736. Have you say, David Fifita, how many years you offering, what price you offering? And let's go from there. But here is the deal. He has until kickoff in the opening game of round 10, that is this Thursday night, 8 p.m, to take up the option in his Titans deal. Failure to do so will result in him becoming a free agent. But as I said, I must have missed something that everyone's allowed to then just have an open slather. On David Fifita. Now, Gus, now I've got a little... Like, the soap opera that is rugby league. I always say it, and I don't say this to put down rugby union, but what do rugby union people talk about? Rugby league just brews. I mean, it just delivers. It just, the gift that keeps on giving. It just gives all the time. Now you've got Gus, strong character, as big as any personality in the game over here in the corner, with the people behind him on what he was saying, but the protocols and systems and what have you. He is an official of a club.
A registered official. That's exactly the point of difference.
Now he's rubbed the NRL up the wrong way, and we're talking $20,000 fine, $10,000 of that suspended. And now we could go to court. Oh, what a case. You'd want to televise that, wouldn't you? Gus would defend himself. How good would that be?
Another
Gus.
Opportune morning to have Lee Hadjipantelis from Brighton's Lawyers on after 8 o'clock. We'll ask him about what way he'd go here. Would you like to represent Gus? Well, imagine that in court.
Yeah.
Gus walks in and in comes his legal representative, Lee Hadjipantelis.
Well, no, I think the other way. I'm thinking Gus defends. We might have to get the clip off A Few Good Men. We love running that. You can't handle the... Could you imagine Gus pinning, a Jared Maxwell, the referee's boss, on a rule? And you say, is the rule stupid? Is the rule stupid? You're goddamn right it's stupid. He breaks him down. He gets him to crack. I reckon Gus could do it.
At 12 minutes past Gus six, Vossie has peaked. You've peaked at 12 minutes past six.
I said we're going to do some ripping and tearing. I just think Gus v. the NRL would be must-watch television. That's prime time.
Yeah.
I'd bump Thursday Night Rugby League to see the trial live.
And how good that Gus was. might have thought to himself, if I've got to pay 10K, if I've got to pay 10 large, I'm going to get some bang for buck. I'm going to go hard. Yeah. I'm going to fight it. Get some real publicity.
Colonel Jessup! Did you order the code red? You don't have to answer that question.
I'll answer the question. You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
Yeah, that's it.
Bring on.
That, you can just substitute Gus right in there.
Yeah.
He'll be forcing it out. He will win. I think we should bring in our lovely listeners right now on 1300 01 1170. On the Great Southern Bank Open Line, you threw it out there. Who did they sign? Where did they get it? Someone's going to come back with something. I think it's Ra of Mount Druitt is on the line. G'day, Ra. How you doing?
Hey, morning, boys. Mate, I'm a big Panthers fan, and when we haven't got the juniors and we're looking for someone, we'll definitely go out and buy them. But it's got to be someone special. So we did it with James Maloney. We went outside of our junior base. We bought a guy that's going to bring something, and he totally changed everything for us. I know he didn't win. I know he is a gun for hire, but mate, he put clear on that trajectory.
Great second call.
Thing.
Oh, by the way, just for mate, providing that information, Ra, put yourself down for a Signet Boost Power Bank, okay? Signet Boost Power Bank coming out your way, Ra. Well done. Now continue.
Mate, the second thing, everyone's saying we're replacing Fisher Harris. Mate, we're not replacing Fisher Harris with Fifita. We're replacing, what's his name, Bulldogs. Kickout. We're 100% replacing Kickout. We need that bust through that left edge. And I think that's what we're really missing this year with that with our attack. So we're definitely not replacing Fisher Harris. It's Kickout, mate.
So, Rob, the way that you're saying then, I take it you're a Penrith fan. How excited would 100%. Panthers fans be to get David Fifita? He's found some promising form in recent weeks with Gold Coast. His form at the Titans hasn't always been top shelf. In fact, it's been criticised. So you are confident that Ivan Cleary can get David Fifita and find his best season after season?
No, I'm not. I'm actually really am on the fence. But I seen what the promise of Pangai Jr. did for us, and it didn't sort of work. Like, we've definitely got a culture at Penrith that is top line, and it's and we won't have the leader of Fisher Harris and all that to pull him into lines. I'm on the fence here. It'd be great to see him play with the likes of Cleary and guys like that. But I'm on the fence, man.
All right, stay on the fence. That's okay to be on the fence. Cameron Smith was on the fence yesterday. Splinters right up his Jaminda. That's all right, Ra. You're also, so you get the Signet Boost Power Bank. Mindy will get your details. The one-time Olympic aspirant fencer is back on day two of her tour of duty as EP of this program. So well done, Ra. Some honesty there. Lots of people coming in. James Maloney on the text. James Tarmo's another one that's been mentioned on the text. Michael of Kilcare. Let's keep rolling with the calls. Throw out the rundown. Michael's been good enough to take the time out to call. Good morning, Michael.
Hey, Bossy. Just my way down the M1. Traffic's pretty clear so far, so that's good.
Okay, where are you driving from to where? Where are you driving from to where?
Yeah, so Kilcare's home and into the CBD, mate. So,
okay, excellent.
A couple of days a week. So
safe travels.
I was going to say that the last one that I thought we went after, big dollars, was Thurston. Gus nearly had him across the line until he made a decision at the 11th hour. And I'm like the other caller. I'm on the fence. I see if your feet are too hot and cold. And we have an aura around the club now, we, again, being a Panthers fan, that we can bring players like Sorensen and others, Bellamy-like, and they're fringe for first-grade players somewhere else, and we turn them into champions. So I think we stay with our stock or go and get somebody maybe in inverted commas second tier.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what, on the text line, 206 is thinking along the same lines as you, Michael. Vossi, Matty, David Fifita is a part-time player. Two-year deal, $450,000 a year is all that he would pay. And there's plenty of text along those same lines, Vossi, questioning whether David Fifita is a good purchase.
I think, Michael, and thank you very much for your call, mate, and have a good day at work there in the CBD. Drive safely. And what our previous call, Ra, mentioned, like Viliami Kikau, like, he was turned into a great player at Penrith. Like, when he first came in, you know, occasional barnstorming run, but he was turned into a hard worker. Viliami Kikau is like a great kick chaser. How many times do you see Viliami Kikau lead the kick chase? So that has all come from the culture at Penrith.
Yes.
You know, that's made him the player.
Yes.
How would that not happen with David Fifita? You know, I think it would work. When I think of, you know, Kikau's your prototype and Fifita comes in, I think Penrith would get the best out of him. Yeah. I really do.
I tend to agree. Really, and, you know, Nathan Cleary is there for a long, long time, surrounded by a core of the team that wouldn't settle for someone coming in and just resting on his laurels once he arrived on big bucks. I think you're right. I'm keen to hear from more Penrith Panthers fans, though, Vossie.
100%. I want to hear from Roosters fans, I want to hear from Dragons fans. How do you sell your club to David Fifita, head of Panthers, Roosters, and indeed his present club, the Titans? We're just leaving the Titans out of the mix here. It's almost like fait accompli. We're saying poor old Gold Coast, cop it in the neck. Graeme Annesley had lots to say yesterday, and it was good. It was strong. I throw over to you, Matt, because you were watching it live, but very strong on respect for referees as well as individual incidents, the rights and the wrongs from the round of football.
He started with just a passionate plea to have more tolerance across the game for everyone in the game and from everyone in the game. It's probably something you could just throw across society. He didn't want to go into the gender discussion regarding Casey Badger, Belinda Sharp, and you can understand that. I think he was very open to the fact that, hey, referees deserve criticism, but it has to come in the right way, as anyone in any professional environment does. But basically, there was no saying that Casey did a good job or Casey was on her game that day. It was more broad brush stuff, that the outrage at her performance was over the top, and the sexist criticism was just vile. That was the assessment there. And we'll see what happens with the referee appointments today. The indications are that Casey will get another first grade game this weekend. Andrew, I'll come to you before we go on with the rest of Graeme Annesley very quickly. When a referee comes up with a shocker, male or female, I take a very different approach to most reactions. I'll drop them, make them spend some time out of the game. I actually say empower them. Give them another game next week and say, we believe in you. If you were good enough to do a first grade game last week, yes, you've had a poor game, like we all do in every industry, but I'm backing you to be better this weekend. I believe in you. Go and show me you can do it. Maybe it's different after 12 weeks of subpar performances. Maybe it's different if the referee says, look, I'm struggling a bit mentally. Could I have a breather? But I would go the other way. Then, rather than dropping the referee, empower them by naming them again next week. Your thoughts?
I 100% agree. And I think of sideline officials that have been burned over the years. You know, one bad call, bang, you're banished. You know, I agree with you 100%. How about we do the snap poll this morning with our listeners? Would you be a referee? Yes or no? You know, seriously, it's that straightforward. Would you be a referee? Yes or no? And I heard Billy Slater say yesterday, don't abuse someone unless you think you could do it.
Yeah.
Like, you've got no right to abuse people unless you think you could go out there and do the job. And would you willingly do the job? Would you be a referee? Yes or no? Or if you're a parent listening now, would you want your kids, son or daughter, refereeing? Or I'll add a third strand. Do you have a son or daughter who's refereeing, and how tough is it in junior football of all codes? And lots of parents would have children who are refereeing at the moment and go along and support them. Let us know your own tales from the coalface on the Great Southern Bank open line 1300 01 1170, the text line 0457 736.
Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy. You've got Vossie and Matt Russell for another day. We're here thanks to Brighton's Lawyers, 1-800-848-848. Thank you, Brighton's. Football desk music, please, because Vossie this morning, Crystal Palace 3-0 over Manchester United. Palace finding some form recently. They're 14th, but they're 3 to the good over Man U. So any hopes of Europa League for Man U sliding away? And, yeah, Tottenham just breathing a slightly bit easier this morning.
Man U, eighth on ladder, with that result. Great text coming in straight away. My son started, this is from Greg of Campbelltown. My son started refereeing this year. He absolutely loves it. And I've got nothing but great feedback at how good he is going. I'm so proud of him. Good on you, Greg. And your son, well done. Paul Macquarie Pearl, he's a funny old bucker. The Paul Macquarie Pearl, he's probably on the tools already, getting ready to tile all day somewhere regional New South Wales. He says, morning. I think David Fifita should go to the Dargans. As a Dragons fan, it'd be great to see what mistake the embroiderer put on his debut jersey. Maybe maybe favoured defeater. That's a very good text for the Times.
We need to illustrate to some listeners who might not have seen the embroidery on Jack Bird. The embroidery on my tongue isn't real good this morning. They had 150th game for the St. George Illawarra Dargans. And then someone revealed New Brown's debut came June 18, 2024. Not even here yet. So the embroiderer.
Oh, how good.
Or embroider, whatever the word is, didn't do a great job there.
Fifita, here's the text from 580. 7-year contract, $6 million. 7 years, $6 million. Thank you for the input. Let's go back to the Great Southern Bank open line. This is good. Lots of calls coming in nice and early. Julian of Hammondville is there. G'day, Julian.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
G'day, Julian.
Well. What would you like to talk about?
I was just ringing up about the refereeing situation. I used to referee in the park in rugby league a number of years ago. And I've got a close mate who's a professional referee, so this is close to my heart. We used to get a lot of kids turn up, 13, 14, 15 years old, and you'd see them really keen as mustard to start refereeing. And then after 12 months of abuse and not being able to stand parents, they disappear. So, refereeing stocks dwindle over the years. You end up with a lot of older referees that, want to retire but hang on because, there's no one else to take their place. And we even had, in another sport, an incident at my son's football game on the weekend where a young referee was refereeing under-11s game. He started losing control of it a little bit and the players start to take advantage of that. And then before you know it, you've got coaches on the field remonstrating, parents abusing him. It's just hard for these kids to then keep going. And if we don't have kids refereeing, we don't have older referees down the track.
Well said, Julian. Now, really quickly, yesterday Graeme Annesley drew a link between what happens on NRL fields and what happens at junior parks around the country. As a man who's walked that path, if there was more respect, more tolerance of referees at NRL games, would it flow through to the games and the parks you've controlled games at?
Yeah, 100%. I actually watched that briefing from Graeme yesterday on NRL.com, and everything from the NRL flows through. So anything that happens, whether it's even rules that don't apply in the park, kids think that they do because everyone's watching the NRL. So as soon as they see players remonstrating with referees, abusing referees, coaches or commentators, complaining about referees, it just flows through, not only from the parents, but the kids onto the field. They think that it's okay for them to do it. So while I understand that it's a heated battle out there at an NRL level, they still need to be mindful that anything that they do, kids watch and that they replicate on the park.
Yeah, great call. Great call, Julian.
Thank you, Julian, for
being so eloquent and making your points too at this hour of the morning. Better than the host of the program.
Much better than this one here.
Putting it so well, Julian, you're also in the running for Club Med Caller of the Year. You could be Club Med Caller of the Week first, and then you're in line to go to Bali later this year. Trip worth almost $10,000, you and three mates. We better go to the news. We're powered by Kubota and our sound system. It's Sonos. It's the big sound. Right here on Breakfast with Vossie, Matt Russell, Homer Sport SEN.
Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy this morning. It's Vossie and Matt Russell. Brandy is back tomorrow. Coming in from Japan hot tomorrow on SEN. We're here thanks to Bryden's Lawyers. If you're unable to work due to injury or illness, contact Bryden's Lawyers. I'll tell you what, the football desk working overtime this morning, Vossie. I can't keep up. It's 4-0 now. Crystal Palace doing a job on Manchester United. This is getting embarrassing for United. 4 blot. Yeah. They trail with still 15 minutes to play.
Did you give us any weather this morning, Matty? Did you give us some weather?
No weather yet. I'm still waiting for the Bureau of Meteorology to send me my tailor-made email. It's coming soon. Don't worry. I've asked for better work out of them. They've been a little wayward in recent days, so I've asked for more correspondence.
Right. A text said, could you give the weather for Croydon in London, which is where Crystal Palace are taking on Manchester United right now. Does it really matter? But anyway, thank you for that text on 0457 736 736, the Edgewater Homes text line. We'll do a sports update or touch on some other sporting headlines in a moment for Glow Fire Pits, but little spoiler alert, big day on the program. Next hour, we will have one of the absolute greats of rugby league on the program. Parramatta fans, get excited. Here's a little teaser.
Hindmarsh goes through.
Hindmarsh is in the clear. Hindmarsh has got plenty of pace. He's going to make it. Hindmarsh nails it for Parramatta.
Yeah, Ian Hindmarsh. It'll be Nathan Hindmarsh coming on the program. Fox League's Nathan Hindmarsh in great form, but about to embark on something to do with food. I'm very jealous. Very, very jealous with Clubs New South Wales. So Hindy on the program next hour, but if you've got a question for Hindy, get in early on the text line, 0457 736 736. Don't worry about that. There's 25 numbers there. 0457 736 736. If there's a question you've always wanted to ask him, we might be able to slip it into the interview for Hindy.
That highlight we just heard there, Ray Warren calling that try, was that a significant try for Hindy in any way, Andrew?
You. This is a this is a question with prior knowledge. That's at the Sydney Showground against the Bulldogs one night, where Tony Chalmers, floor manager with the coverage, I'm sideline reporter on that night. I think we might have had Buzzard Brad McNamara as our producer on the sideline as well. Hindy was $26 to score the first try. And a tight opening. I don't know what minute that is, but there had been no try. And Hindy busts, breaks through inside his half. And I stand up. Tony Chalmers stands up, Brad McNamara stands up, and we boot him home. We start walking along the sideline. We start walking with it, totally forgetting where we are, thinking we're in a pub, booting a bloke home at $26. We end up in front of the Bulldogs bench, celebrating the first try score, and they're looking at us, what the... Sorry, guys. Yes, great moments on the punt. Hindy, $26, first try, Showground. Fabulous moment. Anyway, he's a guest. Now, for Glow Fire Pits, now we are getting into this weather now, a little bit of weather, a little bit chillier. A Glow Fire Pit, just do it. You know you want it. You know you want it. You know you want that lifestyle. Anywhere in the backyard, stick the Glow Fire Pit, get a little bit of kindling, and away you go. You know, burn some old tax receipts that you don't want. Just whatever.
Oh, I'm a big fan of a fire evidence. Pit. Yeah. No, it's a fantastic addition. Put one, get a few, put them around your house, sit around the fire pit. Mm. Not inside, outside, quite obviously.
I noticed in the IPL last night, Travis Head got 48. Pat Cummins got 35 not out last night. Actually went okay with the bat. He only got one wicket and was on the losing side. But Paddy Cummins had a bit of a contribution last night at the end of the order, but not able to be on the winning side. What have you got, Matty?
What about some NBA? Today, game one of this series, Knicks Pacers, that coming up at 9:30 a.m. Eastern. Game two, Nuggets Timberwolves from midday. Minnesota leading that one 1-0. So the NBA finals continue to bubble along, Andrew.
Now, a little story just on that Crystal Palace Manchester United game. It's not part of the coverage if you are somehow managing to watch it live today, but they've, for the first time, they have stuck a camera on the referee's head. So he, oh, well, I think it's his head. He's wearing a camera. Anyway, he's wearing a GoPro of sorts, and it has been done before in other European competitions. It's the first time in the EPL. So not for the live broadcast, but they're going to see what they come up with, and then probably towards documentary, you know, a game in the life of a referee show, all that's going on. I have been there before where sports have used this, the camera, and I must say it does give you a headache.
Makes you seasick.
They might have done it on Fox. Yeah, because you then realise, or you didn't realise before how much the referee's head moves around. Like he's looking around and boom, and there's no direct focus and the camera's just going everywhere. It became very hard to watch. The first time I knew of an Australian sport that used it, I think it was touch football. Mid-90s, Matt. That's how far back we're going. They thought, we'll try camera on the referee. And as you said, gave you a headache. Like your head was spinning. You didn't really get much gold. But yes, I would assume in an EPL game where, you know, there's flashpoint, yellow card, potential red card, you'd like to see it. But the referee then's got to keep his head still, not turn around left and right and up and down. And is that the sort of thing you think enhances the coverage? Do we need that?
No.
The referee's perspective? No.
In soccer/football, maybe when they have a flashpoint showdown with players coming and circling around them and gesticulating wildly as they argue the point, maybe that might be worth watching from the referee's perspective. But general play, no. Generally, you feel like you're out beyond Sydney Heads bobbing around on a small tinny. makes you seasick. Speaking of seasick, do you want a weather update while we're going?
Because it's a little overdue. You missed it in the rundown. You meant to do it about 20 past six.
That's right. So same as we've been having, Andrew. Low 20s in the greater Sydney area. Showers today. Croydon in England, though, 13 degrees, showers all day. So miserable. Miserable in Croydon compared to here.
But the match is being played at night. Are you saying that was the forecast for today?
No,
the
right now. That's right now. The in Croydon in England, it's cool, it's wet, it's not good.
Of course, it's spring over there, isn't it?
Mm, but it's
spring. Still that. Suggestion here, Vossi, why don't you put a GoPro on your head that follows you around as you travel to games, maybe on the train? Well, that would be stunning. It'd be truly stunning, me sitting on a train spilling that coffee the other day. The reaction when the coffee, and it was the tall cup, like it was the large, so it's the extra large, and I'm just busy, I put it on the seat, it's upright. Oh, I'm looking forward to that coffee. Then I look over and thought, oh, like it's just a puddle all over the seat. And then I'm, you know, the little napkin dead set, it wouldn't, you know, it was tiny, and that's all I had to dry it up with. So I sort of had to
Were you more aghast that you'd made a mess or that your coffee was now gone? You couldn't drink it.
Oh, well, the truthful, well, the coffee was gone.
Oh,
that was it. But no, I was aghast. I thought, what happens here? You know, what if someone suddenly wants to sit there? I'd do the smother.
There's a poor state rail cleaner cursing you right now.
Yeah, that's right. Coffee stain. I did my best. Folks, I did my best. Don't put a camera on any NRL touch judge's head as they must watch the crowd. Brisbane Eel says that'd be a giveaway that they're watching the wrong way. Brisbane Eel, that's nasty. Morning, boys, on the text from Craig. As a Roosters fan and not a fan of Fifita coming to the club, with a war chest the club has, I'd rather see it spent on replacing the quality we are losing. Tough, I know, but the Chooks have plenty of quality edge back rowers that give their all each week and earn their money. DF, in my opinion, takes the money and gives you what he wants each week. On David Fifita from Craig, he's put together his thoughts on the text line. So no to David Fifita at the Roosters from Craig.
And earlier we asked, when was the last time Penrith signed a player equivalent to David Fifita in terms of being established in the game and on this sort of money? And the popular response has been James Maloney. Tony, the West Nowra Panther, writes, boys, last marquee player for Penrith would have been James Maloney. And that's why the run started. There is lots of love for James Maloney on the text line this morning. 665, I reckon the last big money player Penrith would have bought from another club would have been James Maloney, Lunia Tiger, James Maloney, on and on it goes.
I heard that, and before we take a break, just on James Maloney, because the centre of excellence was just opening at that time out the back of, you know, Penrith, and Maloney's short kicking game and the work he put into it was a real eye-opener to Nathan Cleary, and they said it was just great to watch James Maloney training and just working on that little kicking game, and that certainly helped Nathan. That's what I was told, and that's a number of years ago now when Maloney was at the club. So yes, he had more influence than just the 80 minutes on the field. Also on this one, someone who obviously knows a little bit about the technical caper on 823, the image stabilization has improved dramatically on the camera, so it should look a lot better. It wouldn't have that drag and that movement. So there you go. We're putting our hands up. We've technically got nothing.
Image stabilization is not a topic I've studied.
I'm surprised you didn't mention the image stabilization. Brighton's lawyers bring you the breakfast show. Best legal advice. Keep this number handy, 1-800-848-848. We're asking you this morning, would you be a referee? Yes or no? If you have someone in the family who's a referee, if you've been a referee, share your experience. But for those who've never been, would you be a referee? Yes or no? Would you let your kids be referees? Yes or no? Straw poll this morning. Lodge it on the text line or give us a call.
SEN Breakfast, the 7th of May. On this day, not far away, Andrew, we're here thanks to Brighton's lawyers. Unable to work due to injury or illness, contact Brighton's lawyers on the text line. Thanks to Edgewater Homes. Hi, boys. I just want Fifita at the Roosters so we can finally beat Penrith at something, says Rooster Adam, in reference to the Tricolours' lean trot against the Panthers in recent years. Boys, says Adam, where would you rather live? Bondi or Bondi?
No, please. I've never stepped foot on Bondi Beach in my life, as you know. Now, at 10 minutes to 7, I haven't been in the fish markets either. I haven't climbed the Harbour Bridge. Just a few things I haven't done. Gary of Newtown gets his own segment here because he wants to buy into our referee discussion this morning. And I don't think Gary's ever spoken referees. This could be, I reckon this is a first. I've never heard Gary talk about refereeing decisions. Gary of Newtown, good morning.
Good morning, Andrew and Matt. Just quick, on the referees, it goes like this.
Yes.
I don't reward mediocrity. 50-50 always goes to the side who's working the hardest. That's number one. Number two, if you're not the captain and you challenge me, I say to you, fair warning, next time in the bin. That's a non-negotiable with me. And if the coaches want to whinge about that, don't point the finger to the NRL, point it to the individual. Whinging the referees, in my eyes, is helping the opposition. Why are you doing that? Get on with the game, for crying out loud. That's how I see it. Can I just think about the Titans for 1 second? If I owned the Titans, I'd buy Bennett and get rid of Dez. Long-term success comes from Bennett, not from Dez. You just pay out the money, you get it back in revenue on sales, no doubt, with Bennett there. Just on Parramatta, very, very quickly. The dummy half passing is a joke. And I'll just say this. We need another voice, not a new voice. I'm with the coach 100%. I'll sync with him. I haven't got a problem there. But I need another voice because it's not working. Absolutely. Push up in support when we make half breaks. That's what we've got to do. Thanks for your time. That's about it.
Yeah, no, Gary, I was going to cross-examine you just on the refereeing thing. If Graeme Annesley calls today, if the league called today, Gary, will you grab a whistle? And are you prepared to do the job?
Absolutely. I would. And be a better guy. Might be similar to Bill Harrigan and Matt Checkin. They've got a feel for the game. Matt, right, he was only an average ref. He used to whinge too much. But later in his career, he became a very top ref because he was feeling the game. He understood the game. Let it flow. Right.
Gary, 5 minutes into the West Tigers Newcastle game, you're in control. John Bateman comes up, wants to argue the point. What's Gary from Newtown with whistle in hand saying to Johnny Bateman?
If it was the second time, he's in the bin. What about Clemmer, right? He was running towards the ref with his head and neck out. I would have said, you're gone. You're absolutely gone.
Who are you? Gary of Newtown, do you stand with Gary? 0457.
No,
736-736. We've fired him up before 7 o'clock this morning. His contribution this morning on that and other things. Emphasise, Gary, how fit are you? Is a question from a listener. We have on this day coming up, it will include the story of dinosaurs and passing wind. You don't want to miss that.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Play!
This is a famous victory, a magnificent performance.
Here's Aloisi for a place in the World Cup.
For us.
He's scored!
On Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy, on this day.
On this day, the 7th of May in 1886, American pharmacist John S. Pemberton developed Coca-Cola, a drink he claimed was a cure-all tonic. The original ingredients, Andrew, infamously included extract of coca leaves, a.k.a. cocaine.
All right, there we go. Here's one for you. Eagle-Eyed Cherry, the Swedish singer-songwriter, is turning 56 today. Didn't even know he was Swedish. And who is he? But this was his song. Hey, Gibbo on the music mix today. He's a bit mixing mood.
He's been on the Coca-Cola. Gibbo's been on the coca leaves.
Birthday, Mr. Cherry. Yeah, great.
In 2012, research was released claiming dinosaur flatulence may have warmed the earth.
All right. And in 1977, the Eagles topped the Billboard Hot 100 with Hotel California. Welcome to the